Please turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 11. We looked at this chapter last Lord's Day, and I want to draw your attention to it again this afternoon. I want to preach on the subject, Jesus, the Son of God. But let us read some verses. First of all, we're going to read from verse 17 of John's Gospel, chapter 11. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. That, of course, was Lazarus. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Look again at those last words of verse 27. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Amen. We'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord again for his help as we come to consider his truth this day. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the precious word of God that we have read. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth, and we pray, Lord, now as we turn to thy precious word, that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. We thank thee for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the Son of God. And we pray, Lord, as we would look at this wonderful truth, that you would come and speak to all of our hearts. O God, we thank thee for many here who are saved by thy grace and can testify to this truth in their hearts and in their lives. O God, I pray for those who cannot, that even this day they will come and put their trust and faith in thee. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word. We pray, Lord, that you would bless it to all of our hearts and souls. May we leave God's house with this great truth again afresh and planted upon our souls and hearts. And to thee, Lord, we will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honour. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. For a few moments today, I want to draw your attention to this statement that was made by Martha in John chapter 11 and verse 27. Martha made this statement, of course, just before the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. It is interesting to note that it was Martha who made this wonderful statement concerning the eternal sonship of Christ. Martha is often criticized for being cumbered about much serving, while Mary, Martha's sister, is praised for sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear his word. However, it is evident from this statement in John 11, verse 27, that Martha's theology was as pure and as scriptural as Mary's theology. Evidently, Martha was not cumbered about much serving all the time. Indeed, in order to make a statement like this, there must have been times when Martha also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Because in order to make a statement like this, Martha would have needed to know Christ in a very personal way. And so she did. And we're going to be saying more about that just in a moment. But look at Martha's statement in verse 27. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. What a glorious statement we have here from the lips of this woman. Very simply, I want us to look at this statement, and I pray that it will bless your heart. If you're saved, it will bless your soul. Of that there is no doubt. But I pray that if you're not saved, that it will challenge you. And even in God's house this Lord's Day, that you will realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. Your greatest need, of course, is to be saved and born again of the Spirit of God. And I pray that even this Lord's Day that you will come and trust Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. That God's Word will speak to your soul. And even this Lord's Day, that your life will be changed, transformed by the power of God. And that you will leave this place knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. What do we learn here from this statement of Martha's in John 11 verse 27? Well, I want you to notice first of all that this is a statement of fact. Look what Martha says. Thou art the Christ. Or if you like, thou art the Messiah, the Son of God. There are no ifs and buts here. There are no maybes here. Martha is emphatic. She is dogmatic in her statement. And the reason for that is because Martha is stating a fact. Now we all know what a fact is. A fact is something that cannot be disputed. A fact is something that cannot be denied. You and I are gathered in this church today. That's a fact. A fact that no one can deny. It is a fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Son of God. Men and women, that cannot be denied, nor can it be disputed when you consider the evidence. And of course, the Word of God contains the evidence, the clear, dogmatic evidence that the Lord Jesus, the one who was born in Bethlehem's manger, the one that was crucified upon the cross of Calvary, the one that rose again the third day, is the Son of the living God. I want you to consider heaven's testimony to this fact. Keep your hand in John chapter 11 and turn over just for a moment to Matthew's Gospel chapter 3. Here we have the Lord Jesus just before he began his public ministry. And in this chapter we have the baptism of Christ. Here we have the witness of heaven concerning the eternal sonship of Christ. Indeed, both the first person and the third person in the Holy Trinity testify that Jesus of Nazareth is the second person in the Godhead. Look what is said here. This is a tremendous portion of Scripture. Verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened upon him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Here we have the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon Christ, and the Father declares concerning Christ, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My, here we have heaven's testimony to this fact. As far as heaven is concerned, the Lord Jesus, the one that was born in Bethlehem, the one that grew up in Nazareth, the one that performed the miracles when he walked upon this scene of time, opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead. He is none other than the Son of God. What a clear testimony we have here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But I want you to turn over to Luke's Gospel chapter 4 just for a moment. In Matthew chapter 3 we have heaven's testimony concerning this fact that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. But in Luke chapter 4 we have hell's testimony to this fact. Here we have the demons of hell testifying to the true identity of Jesus of Nazareth. And they all testify to the fact that he is the Christ, the Son of God. The devil and all those of the underworld accept without any reservation that the Lord Jesus is the Son of the living God. Look with me there at Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So here we have the Lord Jesus performing miracles of healing. But look what is said in verse 41. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, Thou art Messiah, the Son of God. So here in this passage of Scripture, we move from heaven to hell. And yet the testimony is still the same. The fact is still stated. Here we have hell's testimony concerning Jesus of Nazareth. One would expect heaven to declare that Jesus was the Son of God. But here we have the testimony of the demons in hell. And they testify to this fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. Now, of course, when the Lord Jesus walked upon this earth, he also testified to this fact that he was the Son of God. And there are many portions of Scripture that we could turn to see this, but I just want you to turn to one of them. It's Mark's Gospel chapter 14. Turn over to Mark's Gospel chapter 14. And look with me there at verse 61. But he held his peace and answered nothing. That was the Lord Jesus. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ? Art thou the Messiah? The Son of the Blessed. Verse 62. And Jesus said, I am. Now there we have the clear testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So not only do we have heaven's testimony to this fact, not only do we have hell's testimony to this fact, but now here in this portion of Scripture, just before the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, the Savior clearly states that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. He says to the question, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? He said, I am. O men and women, what a glorious fact. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. Isn't that a tremendous truth that we have to declare? And thank God, because of who he is, he can save your soul today. He can pardon you for your sin. But remember this. Remember this, that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior. And he's the only Redeemer. Because the Bible clearly states that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But here we have Martha's glorious statement. It's a statement of fact. A statement of fact. Indeed, just turn over again to John's Gospel, chapter 6, and look at verse 66, and you'll read these tremendous words. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's verse 66 of John chapter 6. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In other words, Peter was pointing out here that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who could save. He was pointing out here that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who could redeem. And then he makes this glorious confession in verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ. Thou art that Messiah, the Son of the living God. I wonder today, as we are gathered in God's house, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer, as your own and personal Savior? Do you believe the fact that He is the Son of God? But I want you to notice something else about this statement. Turn over again to John 11 and verse 27, Martha's statement. Not only was it a statement of fact, but I want you to notice that this is a statement of faith. Now, this is very, very important. Look what it says in verse 27. She said unto him, I believe. Now, those are the words I want you to underline. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. You see, Martha had by faith accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her own and personal Savior. She had not only accepted the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Son of God, but she had experienced the reality of knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way. Martha's faith was in Christ to save her. She was depending upon Him and Him alone to bring her to heaven and to deliver her from hell. She believed that in Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. She was trusting in Christ for her eternal salvation. You said to me, is it possible to believe the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and to have no faith? Yes, it is. Now, I've already given you an illustration of that in John chapter 4 when we considered the demons of hell believing that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed the fact. They could not deny the fact, but they had no faith. And they're lost forever. The devils believe, but they are not saved. My friend, everyone in hell today believes the fact concerning the person of Christ, but they are all void of faith. What is the difference between the fact and the faith? The fact you believe in your head, the faith you believe in your heart. The fact flows from head knowledge. The faith flows from heart knowledge. You see, Martha had a heart knowledge of who Christ was. She had met the Savior personally. She knew Him intimately. Christ was her friend. Christ was her Savior. Christ was her mediator. Christ was her Redeemer. Look with me there at John chapter 11 and verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Here we have Martha, and she is speaking to Christ personally.
She's communing with Christ personally. Why? Because she knew the Lord in a personal way. There was a day in Martha's life when she was saved, when her sins were forgiven, and when the Lord Jesus became her Redeemer, and she met the Lord and she trusted Christ. My friend, this is not only a statement of fact, it's a statement of faith, and it's so important that you see that today. I know that Queen Victoria was a real person. I have read about her. I've seen pictures of her. I know how many children she had. I know how many grandchildren she had. I know where she lived. These are facts that I have in my head. But I never personally knew the woman. I never had the privilege of speaking to her. Queen Victoria was never my friend. I never had a personal acquaintance with Her Majesty. But I believe that she really lived and was the Queen of England. My friend, it's possible to have facts and believe the facts without knowing the person in a personal, intimate way. The question today is simple. As you sit in God's house, do you know Jesus Christ in a personal way? Is He your friend? Is He your Savior? Is He your... Have you met Him? Have you trusted Him as your own and personal Redeemer? Or is Christ just the Son of God who once lived and once walked upon this earth? And while you believe that He really lived, and while you believe what the Bible says about Him, you have no personal interest in Him. Do you have a heart knowledge? Or do you just have a head knowledge? Is your faith in Christ as Savior, or do you just have a head full of facts about Him? Now, I hope that you understand what I'm saying. It's possible to believe the facts, but not know the person. And there are many across our land today, and I believe that there are many in the Free Presbyterian Church. And they come to God's house week by week, and they listen to the Scriptures preached, and they believe the Bible. As far as head knowledge is concerned, they accept that the Bible is the Word of God, and they accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But they have never met Him in a personal way, because they have never come as a sinner to Jesus, confessing their sins and repenting of their sins and trusting Him alone. My friend, do you meet with the Lord day by day? Do you converse with Him day by day as you would converse with a friend? Do you? That's what it means to be saved, to have a personal relationship with the Son of God, to speak to Him, and for Him to speak to you through His precious, precious Word. Oh, do you believe the facts about Him? But you know nothing of personal faith in Christ as Savior. Keep your hand in John chapter 11 and turn over just for a moment to Romans chapter 10 and underline these verses. Romans chapter 10, look with me at verse 8. These verses will underline what I'm saying about faith in Christ, a personal relationship with the Lord. Verse 8 of Romans chapter 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead,
thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. My friend, before I was saved, I knew about Christ. And I believed what I heard. But I didn't know the Lord. I wasn't willing to give up my sin. I wasn't willing to trust Christ as my Savior. And while I had all these facts in my head, I didn't want to come and accept the Lord Jesus as my own and personal Redeemer. So, while I believed the facts, I didn't know the Savior until the 13th of September 1976, when as a sinner, I came and trusted the Lord as my own and personal Redeemer. And that day I met Christ and He met me and He saved me. And from that day to this, I have had a personal relationship with Him. Now, there have been times in my Christian experience when I have failed the Lord. And when we haven't been on good speaking terms, at least I haven't been on good speaking terms. But certainly the Lord has come to my heart in those times. And He has revealed unto me that I'm a disobedient child. And He has chastised me for my sin. And He has drawn me back into the way, into fellowship with Him again. It's possible for a Christian to be out of fellowship with the Lord. But I'll tell you this, if you're truly saved, you'll know you're out of fellowship with the Lord. Well, that's one of the evidences that you know that you're saved. When you do sin and step out of line and fail the Lord, the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin. That's the evidence. One of the evidences that you're a Christian. My friend, do you know anything about this relationship that I'm talking about? This faith in Christ that I'm talking about, that the Bible reveals unto me? Is it any wonder when the jailer asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" that Paul said to the jailer, "Believe, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Are you saved today? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? My friend, if you're saved and born again of the Spirit of God, then you will have that personal relationship with Christ. That personal fellowship with Him. You will know Him as your Redeemer, and as your friend, and as your Savior. You see, it is possible. Let me say it again. It is possible to be religious and to have all the facts in your head about Jesus Christ and to believe those facts and not have faith and not have the new birth and have regeneration. Oh, it was a statement of fact. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. But it was a statement of faith. I believe. I believe. Do you believe today with your heart? Now take a look at the statement again. There's something else I want to emphasize here. Not only was it a statement of fact, not only was it a statement of faith, but I believe, thirdly, this is a statement of future blessing. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. You know, once you believe and accept the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, and trust Him as your own and personal Savior, then your future is secure. If Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and He is, if Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, and He is, and if sinners believe on Him, and He is their Savior and Lord, then all that the Lord Jesus Christ has said concerning His people is true. Indeed, everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has said is true. What has the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning His people? Well, let me remind you, I'm sure these are familiar words, but let me remind you of what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27 to 30. I'll just summarize it. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. What a glorious statement that is. That is a statement of future security. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, has promised his people everlasting life. That's why I'll never be in hell. That's why I'll never be lost. Because the Lord Jesus has promised me everlasting life. And of course, he has promised me everlasting life on the basis of the work that he has accomplished for me upon the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus died, the just for the unjust. He shed his precious blood to redeem us and to save us for time and for eternity, to provide eternal redemption for his people. And on the basis of what he has done, he makes this wonderful promise. My friend, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And because thou art the Christ, the Son of God, Lord, I have a future that is secure. But look what he said to Martha in John chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. There we have this glorious future that the child of God has. Stated in black and white in the words of the Lord Jesus. And then he says to Martha, believest thou this? And of course, Martha could say, yeah, Lord, I believe. Because I'm saved, I believe, Lord. Because you've died for me, I believe, Lord. Because you've risen, you're going to rise again. You're going to lay down your life for me. You see, I believe with all my heart that Martha knew what was going to happen to the Lord. Mary knew it, of course, as well. But isn't it a wonderful truth that we have here? I want you just for a moment to turn back to that portion of Scripture that we read in Mark chapter 14. Just turn back to Mark chapter 14. And I want you to consider what the Lord Jesus Christ said after he spoke. Verse 61, first of all, and he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. And Jesus said, I am. We've already read those verses, but consider what he said after this. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. There the Lord Jesus was, of course, making reference to his second coming. Oh, my men and women, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. The Lord Jesus is coming again. Of that there is no doubt. But again, in the statement we can see here, future blessing, future security, future hope for the child of God. Isn't it wonderful today, dear believer, that we have this blessed hope within us? Life will not end when these old body of ours are placed into Mother Earth. Thank God, life for the child of God is an eternal life. It is an everlasting life. And it's all because of who Jesus is and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. I wonder today, as we come to the close of our service, how is it with your soul? You know, in John chapter 3 and verse 36, we read these very, very solemn words. He that believeth, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth. In other words, he that is saved. He that is redeemed, he that has trusted Christ and knows Christ in that personal way that we have referred to, has everlasting life. That is the blessed hope. That is the future security that each child of God has. But he that believeth not the Son, in other words, he that rejects Christ as his own and personal Redeemer, shall not see life, but rather God's wrath and God's judgment abideth on him. What a solemn text of Scripture that is. My dear unsaved friend in this meeting, do you realize that the moment you die, that you'll end up in a lost eternity? Indeed, as the verse teaches us clearly, the wrath of God abides on you right now. You're already condemned. You're condemned already. That's what the Word of God tells us. And you're just a heartbeat away from hell. You're just a breath away from a lost eternity. That's how near, that's how close you are to the fires of hell. Just a heartbeat. Oh, I would exhort you this afternoon to come and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. I believe that thou art the Christ, Lord, the Son of God. I believe. Do you believe today? If you don't, come and trust him. Child of God, let us leave God's house thanking God for this wonderful truth, that the Lord Jesus is the Messiah. We don't look for another. He is the Son of God. And someday he will come again and burst the clouds asunder. And what a glorious day that will be when we see Jesus face to face. Let us all pray.